All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, I got a problem. I ordered some batter, and they sent me a broken ladder. It's just a mistake with the shipping company, but I figure I'd make some lemonade out of this, okay. And we would use it for a randomization. Hmm. This ladder had one of the rungs was, you know, faulty.
Oh, no.
I've gone ahead, made all the rungs faulty, and written a game on each one, and I'm going to have you climb up on my roof. And whichever rung fails you first will be the game we do.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, can I get like a helmet or knee pads? Oh, well, the gloves aren't going to really. Okay. Well, all right. Wouldn't be the first time.
Okay. You know, all these randomizations that kill you. I'm realizing now that my economic livelihood is tied to your continued survival.
My continued well-being.
Yeah. So you know what? I'm sorry for all the needles. You can wear a helmet. It's fine.
Okay. All right. Wouldn't be the first time I fell off a ladder. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm just going to say you just want me to climb up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got a broken ladder.
Whoa. It's kind of wobbly. Huh.
Yeah.
All right. One.
That's broke good.
Two. Three. Oh, there we go. All right. Oh,
that's a pretty good one to fall down on. Honestly.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you just kind of lopped down.
Yeah, I know. It was like the McPoyles falling off the roof.
Yeah, it's also I live in a 1-4 place, so it's all pretty chill.
Yeah.
Let me grab that rung real quick.
Okay.
You're out.
Oh. Huh.
I accidentally chose a good game, because that happens sometimes in Abject Suffering.
Ladder up.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And welcome to Abject Suffering, one of the podcasts of all time.
And this week we're talking about You're Out, an early access game on Steam about animal baseball.
Yes. This I saw on 6-second trailers, and I thought maybe it would be a bad, misguided game, not a funny on purpose good game. And for that, I am sorry. And I'm working on my notes app. Apology. This actually owns bones and is pretty good.
I found myself getting annoyed at how bad of a baseball sim it was.
I didn't mind it as baseball. Like, I don't know. I you have to get used to it.
You do.
But once you get used to it, it just reminded me that I kind of like old school baseball games.
Oh yeah, old school baseball games are real fun. Yeah.
Yeah, like an RBI baseball is fun, and that's kind of what this is emulating. It's not like modern baseball games where it's all extremely complicated.
Yeah, but it's like I really shouldn't be scoring, you know, scoring points after somebody gets out. Like that's the end. You're done.
Yeah. It's they're still working it out. These animals don't know the rules.
The entire time that I was playing it, just, you know, watching this, all I could think was how would I react if I walked into this scenario? Like if I was just out walking in the woods trails like I tend to do, and then just entered a clearing, and all of a sudden there's
a crack in the bat. And just, the wolves of summer come running out.
I see a crow throwing a baseball at a spider. While a giraffe watches, like, oh no.
it's like the Simpsons with the zoo. Mr. Burns walks out the sod and the animals start acting real weird.
The penguins are flying around.
It's exactly that. This is just a baseball game, an early access, eventual like fun, probably meme-y streamer friendly baseball game where the roster is made up entirely of animals that have different stats.
Yeah, and there's no two animals are duplicated. So you're not, it's not like the, you know,
the Wisconsin the Minnesota Deers deer versus
yeah.
It's not Mega Man Soccer.
But it's, it's entirely, and it's like all kinds of kingdoms of animals as well.
Yep.
You know, like, I'm seriously, the spider, the The dragonfly snake is real tricky.
The snake's a great pitcher. When I first played, the snake was pitching against me. It took me a long time to figure out how to bat successfully in this game, because that snake is real slinky.
I really like the way you pick your team. You draft by default. So like, all right, first position. Okay. I'm going to take the moose because he got real high, real high strength stat. And then you just go, you take turns, picking them down the line. Then you can choose which position they're going to play.
It makes me wish that you could hide the stats, because I really like that draft feature too. And what it made me think of is I'm so much better at drafting this than I would be drafting baseball. Mm. Like if I were going to do like fantasy baseball, and someone was like, draft a team, I fucking Daryl Strawberry, Jose Canseco, I don't know who's a baseball player now.
you're naming people who retired 60 years ago. Yeah. you're just naming people from Homer at the Bat.
I mean, people from when I like knew about baseball when I was 10.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I got nothing, you know,
the only baseball thing I have, commemorative McDonald's baseballs from when the Indians went to, they were called the Cleveland Indians at the time, went to the World Series, but didn't win.
Yeah.
So I have Bell, Baega, and Ramirez. It's Bell, Baega, and Tomy baseballs on display in my house. Yeah.
From back
wildly
in the day.
Outdated shit. Yeah.
So I couldn't do that. But if somebody were like, draft a team of baseball players and they just presented me 30 animals, let's go. Like I have the context for this.
It's funny because like a full 2/3 of the animals would not be able to perform any of the functions of baseball.
Oh, I'm going to say more than 2/3. I guess like picking up a ball with your mouth and running, like a lot of them can do that.
Yeah.
You know, but there's probably only 3 or 4 of them that are big enough to hold a baseball.
Yeah.
The cat can't hold a baseball. Snake can't hold a baseball. It could swallow a baseball.
The
idea of drafting animals for baseball, it's got a real like Dancing to Architecture, Fish Needs a Bicycle appeal. You know, like it just sounds like it's a mistake. It sounds like an ad lib or a mad lib, rather. Not an ad lib, but something in a more, just a little bit more twisted, a Screaming Mad George's version of an ad lib.
I need a different word for blood. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And when we say baseball, like they're not holding bats. They're
no. Yeah. It's all natural.
Either like headbutting the ball or like rear kicking the ball, figuring out how to bat with the giraffe was real tough because he's facing away. He's facing away from the plate. So I figured, I need to like get him there. No, he's doing like a rear kick kind of thing.
Yeah. He doesn't use his head because that would hurt.
You don't
want to beat him. Yeah.
Yeah.
When the bugs do it, it's great. You know, like it's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. It is funny and cute and attractive looking. Yeah. It's going for, I think, so this is early access. Like we're accidentally advertising this game before we digress into whatever we're going to digress into.
Yeah.
It's going for like arcade baseball. Like you can charge your throws.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a dodge roll. Like a little dash.
You're not picking what kind of pitch you want to throw before you go. Like you just charge up the power and then you can, change the trajectory. You can make it do like big S turns or whatever in the air. Like aiming for the batter is not really a thing. You just kind of need to be standing in the right spot. My frustration was with the fielding game. Like getting it to throw to where I needed it to go was impossible. So I lost immediately because they just ran the score up to where it was impossible for me to get to catch up, because every time I would try to throw to base, oftentimes in a baseball game, there's just like a button or a combination of buttons that you press to throw to first base or third base.
It's why NES baseball is good, because the bases just map onto the D-pad.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to get over that. Like I kept doing that. You had to just press in the direction the base would be.
From you.
And it's harder that way, but I kind of get it. Like eventually I acclimated to this. Like I could see playing this for Duckstream next year.
It's supposed to be awkward and madcap kind of stuff.
Yes. Streamer game, what with all these animals getting together and playing baseball. If you were walking through the woods and you saw this, the weirdest part of it would be all of the animals that aren't native to the woods.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
being there. Like I don't know if you were going to the woods and you saw a hippo not playing baseball, that would be way more dangerous for you than seeing a hippo playing baseball.
hippo, one of the deadliest animals alive. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you hope that he enjoys baseball.
Like, because I can distract him.
Keep him busy. Yeah. And he has something to talk about. You could give him one of those commemorative loser balls that you got at home.
Oh, you remember Albert Bell? Yeah. Oh, he was a hitter. Oh God. Yeah. No, if I came across a hippo, you're done, because they can run faster than you think they can.
Yeah. And if you are running after them, they can helicopter spray their own shit.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And they love to do it.
Oh, they do it for like no reason.
Yeah. It's a sport for them. It's what they do instead of baseball.
Yep.
All of these animals have their own little national pastime
mm-hmm.
that they have. And this is presupposing, what if they all got together to learn ours?
there's only so, like, there's just so, like, you don't have to do much to make this basically a sequel to Zoo Race.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, which very much so.
Famously is the game that's, you know, that presupposes, well, all right, the animals were on the boat for, you know, however many days it was, 40 days and 40 nights. What were they doing down there?
Yeah, had to kill some time.
Yeah.
You know, they obviously get bored. They're not just freaking out about being on a boat. You know, what'd they get up to? And this is like, what if they played baseball on deck?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do a whole like series of arc sports.
You know, I'm just surprised.
Like, yeah.
I would be real surprised if that wasn't some kind of like iPhone game.
Yeah, it'd be a good one. Yeah. You can play shuffleboard. That's a boat game and real fun. And I feel like a lot of animals could do it really well. Like a deer or like a big buck could do like a 5-point offensive. They could do their pucks at once and shuffleboard.
That'd be like an ultimate move. You have to charge up the meter for that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a taunt.
This is a weirdly good looking game for being made by one person.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
It's like the cel shaded thing with these incredibly thick outlines.
Yeah.
On everything that makes it look really good and cartoony.
And one of the tricks is, they're working, it looks like a Sega Saturn game because all of the animals are made up of rectangular polygons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're animated really well. Really deceptive, this game. It looks like it's going to be trash and you're going to have our time figuring out what kind of baseball game it is, but like there's a certain amount of like care put into this. Is not just an asset flip or what have you,
which is what, you know, again, what I was going for
right
when I chose it. I just thought it was going to be absolute bullshit. Mm-hmm. And it's not.
No.
Yeah, I was mistaking the graphics on the title page. They do look like Sega Saturn things in an attractive way. And then on the title page, like all of that stuff has the big cartoony outlines,
which
is really great. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I think it's quite good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I quite like it.
Yeah.
Hey, Cole.
Yeah.
If you can pause for just a moment, I think my landlord just got here because I think she's opening up my garage door and she's not supposed to be here until later. Oh, no. And I got to give me a second.
Okay.
Okay. Hopefully I saw nothing. I heard my garage door open and I heard my garage door close and went down there. There's nobody there.
Oh.
And I poked outside. So that's weird. So it might be interrupted again. Hopefully not.
All right. Yeah. You were away for about 4 minutes. Okay, just so I know. We don't make it like a 25 minute episode. Yeah.
Yes.
I'll take us into something else here.
Okay.
So this game is made by one person, which is impressive. And I went and did a little bit of digging because I wanted to, to learn. There's some weird stuff going on.
Okay.
not to be like creepy or what have you. So on Steam, this is made by Green Valley Games and it is published by something called the Hasden Foundation.
I did see the Hasden Foundation.
Yeah, Hadzen rather. And Hadzen Foundation, that's kind of weird. So I just wanted to see I was just looking around to see what else this person or this publisher had made. On Steam, it's the only thing that is that is listed. So I went googling around. The Hadzen Foundation is incorporated in Wyoming, but the like mailing address is in suburban Southern California, which is weird. Okay. Literally just a house at the end of a cul-de-sac. The Hadzen Foundation has a dead YouTube page with no videos on it, But it says the Hadzen Foundation focuses on developing agroforestry systems. The mission is to strengthen Earth's biodiversity while producing food and other useful biomaterials. So it's like an agribusiness something incorporated in Wyoming, but headquartered out of a suburban house. Yeah. And greenvalleygames.com says, you know, Green Valley Games was established in 2021 with the idea for a competitive sports game, mostly a one man crew, but so many have contributed their art, time and feedback. So it is very it's very obvious that the house that is listed is this person, but I have no idea why they are incorporated in Wyoming.
Agroforestry.
Yeah. Why it's agroforestry.
Yeah. That's pretty odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good detective work. I think strengthening Earth's biodiversity while producing food and other useful bio stuff. That's the issue.
Yeah, the other useful biomaterials.
Yeah, other useful biomaterials is mildly too vague for me.
Yeah, and I understand that, like, oh, they're probably talking about, like, I don't know, fibers.
No, yeah, but come on. Useful is doing a lot of work.
Yeah.
In that, useful is a scarily, you know, like, versatile word.
Again, they could just be talking about farming and harvesting jute to make ropes with.
Or the farming and harvesting rangy baseball animals with stringy muscles that are used to make tensile strength fibers that are rocket class.
Think, you know, think about it, Gary. What if there's a Space Jam situation, but for baseball, and Looney Tunes aren't real, so we need to bring some actual animals to the game? We'd be doomed.
Just, maybe they're looking to do Spaceball again, but like the Lion King remake, where it's all just actual animals and actual basketball players.
You said Spaceball instead of Space Jam. I love the idea of just like the Troma Studios version of Space Jam, Spaceball.
Spaceball, with all their famous Al Gores and Saddam Husseins.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's pretty weird. Hasden Foundation 6980.
Yeah.
Joined March 2019. Pretty odd.
Very odd. Spooky. So, no idea what's going on there. I'm going to just assume that it's sinister.
We got interrupted for a second because my doorbell, or not my doorbell, rang. My garage door opened. So I thought my landlord's coming by later. I thought she was coming by early. That's not outside her purview. Like, I generally like the homeowner. Mm-hmm. There's a property management company, but I kind of like the landlord I have, but she's not perfect about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But I went down there. I heard the garage door open and close, but nobody's there. I look outside. Nobody's there.
That's really odd.
If I just got frogged, baby.
Yeah. So we need to
frog.
Yeah. We need to talk about frogging. Have we talked about frogging?
We alluded to it very briefly in the dispatch, but we haven't had the frogging digression that I think it deserves. I will say that I haven't done proper. I've done frogging research, but not gotten very high and watched the Lifetime show on it, which was my plan.
That's your example of this.
Yeah, that's all. That's the aponic ideal of frogging. But let's talk frogging. Let's talk frogger.
So it's very important to note the spelling of frogging. It is P-H-R-O-G-G-I-N.
Yes.
Or, you know, throw the G on there if you want to be formal about it. I didn't learn about frogging until you learned about frogging, which was when we were in Milwaukee.
Yes. There was a tornado near where my friend Derek lives, and he was hanging out in his weird, horrible, scary snake-filled storm cellar waiting out the tornado, and sent me a link to the Lifetime show about frogging. And I did not know about this, so I Googled it, and then I watched some YouTube videos and read about it. Unfortunately, in Milwaukee, so not gummy to the gills, which is the way to do this.
Yeah.
So I learned about frogging. Frogging is when you go into somebody's house and you live there without them knowing it.
Right.
It is a cool, hip, millennial take on home invasions. And
it's a TikTok craze inspired by the Oscar-winning film Parasite.
Sustainable.
You're not doing anything with the upper shelf on your utility closet. Why are you hoarding it?
Yeah, exactly. It's frogging is praxis. But it's really fucking scary and weird if you look up stuff about Froggen.
Can anybody really own the space between the water heater and the wall?
Yeah, can somebody really own a house? There are all these wild fucking cases of frogging that are really crazy. Like, some of them are just like, oh, somebody was gone for a week on a business trip and somebody came and like lived in their house.
It's micro squatting is what it sounds like. But it's like micro squatting that also occasionally comes along with cohabitation. Like squatting will happen on like an abandoned property or like an Airbnb that somebody jimmies the lock to or whatever.
Yes.
Right. Like, the scary thing about this, from what I have read, is it's situations where like somebody will find out that, you know, people have been coming in and out while they've been in the house or while it's been occupied.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens while you live there. Like, the scary thing about it.
Have you been able to determine if this is an urban legend? Because it really sounds like a thing. Okay.
Yeah, certainly not. Not only is this a real thing that happens, it's a thing that's been happening for a long time. There are a bunch of movies based on famous cases of it.
Okay.
Sometimes a movie will come out with a generic title and it's just a thriller and it's called, like, you know, The Attic of Despair or some shit.
Yeah,
and I just ignore it because it looks like a Lifetime movie and you can't tell what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Several of those are actually about famous frogging cases. And the reason why The Attic was an act of despair was because frogging done happened there.
But I'm having trouble figuring out what the plot is of that, like how that could be a thing. Like, what is the rising action or the climax of that story besides just finding out?
So one of the famous cases of it was a guy who was also, there's a comorbidity with some froggers in terms of being general crapulence.
So like this probably guy, sex assault happens, I'd imagine.
Yeah, like the one of the more famous cases, a guy was also murdery.
Okay, that'll do it. Yeah.
Went from house to house and just lived there for a while. So that would be the rising action of a movie version of it. Real life cases, you know, that inspired some of these things, but were not actually dramatic. There's one where this woman, this Japanese unhoused woman, lived in a guy's shelf in his spare room for a year.
Ugh.
1 year. Yeah. And the whole day when he was, you know, at night when he was at home, she just laid perfectly still on a shelf, like Kearney's son in The Simpsons.
Oh, God.
And then, you know, he would go to work and she'd get up and eat food and was just like very careful not to make a mess or eat more food than she needed.
Yeah.
And for a whole year, you know? And then because of the way that the law worked, they couldn't prove the food or the theft or anything. So they could only charge her for trespassing.
Wow.
Which is really wild. Another case I read, one of the earliest cases of it, is a guy who, in like the 20s, he'd fallen on hard times, went to one of his friend's house, and his friend wasn't home at the time, lit himself in, went into the attic, and then his friend came home and he just decided to like live in the attic. He's called the Spider-Man. Like, not like Peter Parker, but like if you look up like the Spider-Man frogging, you'll see things about the Spider-Man.
Lives in the attic like a spider. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So he's certainly not an urban legend. It's probably not, you know, two out of every three houses contain one. it's not like look to your left, look to your right, you know, but it's not an urban legend.
Yeah, look to your left, look to your right. One of you lives
in your house.
One of you is currently frogging. The other is currently being frogged.
You could do like a frog surfing situation where like I frog in your house, you frog in my house.
Crisscross. You know,
frog exchange. Yeah, like wife swap, but frog swap. It's called frogging because like a frog, you scurry from place to place.
So that's the thing based on what I looked at, like the case in Japan where somebody did it for a year, that's like a rarity, right? Like
that's
this
very
is,
much a rarity.
A couple weeks is
when you frog, you know, max, because eventually you're going to get caught.
Oh, of course, you're playing the odds. Every time you come back, you're increasing the risk that they're going to find you. Increasing your exposure. Yeah.
It makes you want to rewrite a like hard-boiled 20s novel about a gentleman frogger. You know, like a real Valentino type.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but he just frogs, like always leaves his calling card, like presses all your shirts when he leaves. You know,
he doesn't have to. He actually has like a huge manor up on the Cape. But he, you know,
he frogs for the thrill of the frog.
He's in it for love of the game is the thing about this guy.
Yeah. I don't know, like gentleman and master frogger, you know, I think it's got legs.
I mean, at least two of them to hop around. Yeah. That's a man. I don't know. I just, ever since I learned about this, it is a little creepy, you know, because I can't keep an eye on everything about my house all the time.
Like owning a house means rooms that you don't see that often.
Yeah.
You know, like there, even, you know, I have a relatively small place that I live in, but there's still like, you know, the basement, which is Liv's office. I don't go down there that often, you know, somebody could be hanging out in a corner down there behind the water heater. I wouldn't know.
There's one time I was looking for Dottie because she likes to hide, and I get paranoid. I don't know about you, if you ever get this, but like even if none of your animals ever really try to get out, you sometimes worry. Yeah. Like I haven't seen her in a while, and like fuck, I just want to go. And I was just like driving myself crazy going around to all of her usual haunts, right? And she wasn't there, and I was like basically getting my coat on and getting out a flashlight to go look around the house, and I opened up a closet that I never ever use because it's just, you know, near the front of the house, it's kind of small, but it was where that coat happened to be because it was colder than usual. I opened it, and then out runs Dottie. That runs my, you know, younger Shire cat. And I was like, oh yeah, no, I never would have thought to look there. I thought that I had completely every single square inch of my house looked for this cat. And
but
I
an just, entire room.
I never opened it. I never. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's scary shit. You know, and that's probably why she hid there.
Mm-hmm.
Is because you don't go in there.
Yeah.
You know, I do that too, especially as I get older. Like I am such a weird homebody and like huge like paladin class energy where I'm like constantly just like making sure everyone's tucked. Oh, okay, you know, all the cats are in, Liv is in, I'm in, all the doors are locked. Time to relax because everyone is safe and fine.
You know,
got to make sure all my people are okay.
It's part of the reason why just the very idea of frogging is so, I don't know, just like it's offensive to my constitution, which is it is an invasion of not just privacy, but also a real violation of sense of security.
Yes.
You know, and like you'll feel small versions of this. But like if you've ever like, I don't know, really relied on having a car and then suddenly it gets in a wreck, you get in a wreck with it or it's gone. And it needs to be repaired or something. Like there's a certain sense of like this thing that you relied on betraying you, you know?
Yeah.
And just, what if your space betrayed you? You know,
it's weird that it's scarier than home invasion, because when home invasion happens, you're there and they tie you up and torture you.
Yes.
And usually kill you.
No, you get perched. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, whereas frogging, like they just want to eat some of your scraps.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to eat your garbage. It's that episode of Beef House. They literally just want a big bag of garbage lasagna to have a garbage feast. It's pretty benign. You know, it's just psychologically very damaging.
Yeah. They just want to use your surplus shelter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which in a weird way is like, seems good. I mean, they're empty. Like squatting is the more virtuous.
Oh yeah.
One,
yeah. Right?
There are just empty apartments that aren't being used. Oh,
so many. It's a crisis. Yeah. Like just so many, like, you know, we have way more housing than is actually.
Than we need more people need houses, but like, and it just, it's what, choose one of those, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't got to choose this one with me. I assure you my scraps, like my slop runoff is not that good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I tend not to make more than I need. I'm real sorry, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fascinating thing though. And apparently there's a Lifetime show that is like, it's not my life as a frogger. It's not like, you know, from the frogger's perspective.
Which is what I would want to see. Yeah.
Oh, I definitely got to get the frogger's perspective on this. That's the sides of this. But I want to see like, you know, these really, really, you know, absolutely cheesy Lifetime bullshit reenactment style things about people living in a house.
Yeah.
You know, it actually, it's funny because we're doing Malignant next month on Unfillable. That's got a frog. It does.
I mean, for certain definitions, Gary.
Multiple definitions. I'm not talking about the person frogging in the other person. I'm talking about the attic.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about the attic. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I guess it is like, you know, when you take over another person's body, you are frogging them. Yeah. Like the way that Dr. Venture really frogged his vanishing twin. And actually kind of frogged him. Like, yeah, JJ Jr. Frogged him.
JJ frogged Rusty.
Yeah. It's a really fun phrase. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you can hear the PH.
Oh, you get a little
extra mustard to the R.
Frogging. You gotta get that real, like, the lips sliding off the, or just a snapping off the teeth, mm-hmm, there to emphasize the B. Frogging.
Yep. Get a bunch of like tapeworms frogging in your intestine house.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, your belly room.
Can I frog the bathroom in your RV for a minute?
Yeah. Like, do you mind if I frog a beer? Like, do you mind if I frog your couch? Like, you know,
for a couple
like,
of nights, things are rough with the missus.
Yeah. Like, do you mind if I frog the cot? Like, I think that this is leaving vocabulary on the table if this doesn't catch on.
Yeah. You know? But then you worry about devaluing the word, and suddenly, you know, just the actual frogging, like, you know, you gotta have
the froggers who suffer. if we devalue the word, though, that means, because I haven't heard people talking about this bunch, which means that we'd be the trailblazers of it.
We could, you know? Yeah,
that'd be great.
Yeah, no, just duck view policy. Let's throw some frogging out. And only people who listen to this to get the explanation will ever understand what it is.
I am constantly thinking something's funny and trying to make it a bit, and then finding out that it was a McElroy bit. Mm-hmm. And I did not know it because I don't know McElroy's.
Here's the thing. I haven't listened to Bam Bam for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Just because most of my podcast listening is depressing politics stuff. So maybe frogging has come up, but we are both living in ignorance right now.
I pray that they haven't scooped me on this. Yeah. Will let me know. Like, Will lets me know right. when I... I'm like, man, isn't Cheeseburger in Paradise a funny song? And he's like, well, actually, yeah, the McElroys have done a bit about that, and they live with him.
Colonized.
They love him. You know, they just like, well, fuck, man, you can't just take every funny concept,
mm-hmm,
you know? But yeah, frogging, that's ours. Damn it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
If you would like to frog our coffers, you can, mm-hmm, do so by going to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Frog them coffers. Frog us a couple bucks.
Yeah, for just $5 in exchange, your phone will be frogged by bonus episodes of this show and a bunch of bonus content as well.
Yeah. Can you imagine just sitting there unknown, eating, mm-hmm, the bites, eating the additional data bits?
Here's the thing. Even if you are already supporting us, I guarantee there is content that you have access to that you are unaware of. Just frogging there on the servers, and you can listen to it.
It's literally just
it
in the attic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eating your scraps.
Mm.
So check it out.
Yeah.
You can also leave us ranked reviews on Apple Podcasts or Podcast Addict.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of that helps. Big thanks to our producer, Gwen. Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Anything else?
Until next time, mind your own business. Don't open that closet.